Matt, how many of you have never heard me speak before? Never heard me speak before. Awesome. Man, thanks for coming. I know you probably expected somebody else, but it's me. So here we go. I was born in Canada. Yay. Live in America. Yay. Best of both worlds right there. So I got that going on. Plus, I brought my wife and my daughter with me today. Just raise your hand. It's my wife, my daughter. It's actually her birthday today. Yeah. So I said, hey, I'll take you to the beach with a couple hundred of our closest friends. And here we are. So that's pretty cool. Hey, I work with college students, love doing it, so thankful that I can do it. And let me tell you what I tell them every week as we gather, as I get a chance to open the Word of God with them. I've got nothing that can change their life. I don't have that ability, I don't have that power, but the God who made you, who created you, you're His idea, and He arranged and orchestrated the details of our lives to bring us together in this spot right here, right now, because He has something that He wants to say to you that's very personal, that's very profound, and the only wild card in that whole scenario is, will you listen to Him? I'm going to ask you to do what I ask my college students to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, if you would, out of respect for those around you. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer. You may have never done anything like this, but I'm going to beg you to do it so that this time, even though it's brief, will be so meaningful. Just simply pray something like this. Say, God, you got my attention. Speak to me. Just ask Him to speak to you today and tell Him you'll respond. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge that you are the King. You have the words of life. You are the one we need. Thank you that you know everyone's situation here today. No one has escaped your gaze. Your passion for them is unbelievable. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, give us ears to hear, and may we respond to the words that you have for us, God. May we not fear you. You are not our enemy. Lord, you are for us. You are not against us. Help us to understand that today. Thank you, Christ. We'll give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to the Gospel of Mark, if you would, please. Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Mark chapter 5. Going to read a story. It's a snapshot and an encounter that Jesus had when he was out speaking to a crowd much like this today. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, pressed around Jesus. And a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. God only knows how much she has suffered. She's had to endure 12 years of humiliating bleeding, hemorrhaging on the inside. The rabbis had labeled her unclean, which means she was subject now to the Levitical pronouncements and prohibitions, which means no one could touch her and she could not touch anyone. God originally instituted the Levitical laws to promote health and protection and personal hygiene, but sadly, the rabbis had taken them and used them as a judgment, as a weapon against this woman, to lock her away into a form of solitary confinement. And now, while the other women of the town, they're out talking and working together and laughing together in the marketplace, at the well, in their homes, she is banished to solitude. She's been ostracized by the synagogue, ostracized by society, and ostracized by God, so she thinks. She's alone. She's very, very much alone. She has prayed. She has cried out. She has pleaded with God for 12 agonizing years, and yet he seems to be so silent. And during that time, it's as if society had taken her and kicked her out the back door into an alleyway. As you pass her by, her eyes are downcast and sullen. She fears your gaze. She fears the judgment against her. Mostly she fears your condemnation of her. Because see, she knows. She hears. She understands that the people in the town, the people that used to call her friends way back in the day, now they have connected her illness with a specific sin. The reason she's sick is because of sin. And with bleeding in that area of your body, it's not hard to imagine what type of sin they were talking about. Sexual sin, no doubt. Some kind of perversion, I'm sure, are the whispered innuendos. So now she not only has to carry the weight and the burden and the shame of this bleeding, now she carries the stigma of it. She's gone from doctor to doctor to doctor, trying to find a place to lay that burden down, trying to find a place to get well. And although the doctors have filled her mind with hope and her body with folk remedies, in the end, the only thing they actually relieved her of was her money. And once the money ran out, they finally admitted they couldn't help her. There's nothing they could do for her. And so now she's penniless. She's destitute. And she's tired. Imagine 12 long years, every day, bleeding. The blood loss has taken its toll. She's pale. She's anemic. She's weak. And yes, she's tired of the stigma, of the shame, of the isolation, of the burden. She's tired of it all. And as she lays her head down on the pillow at night, the enemy of her soul, Satan, is only too happy to point out to her all the ways that God has let her down and all the dreams that she had that will never be fulfilled. Dreams of a marriage gone. Her dream of hoping one day to comb the hair of her daughter, or to wipe off the dirt, the face of her son, to wave her husband goodbye as he goes off to work. The dream of growing old together with him. Gone. All of them gone. Shattered in a million pieces, laying all around her. And Satan is only too happy to point out every single one of those pieces to her every single night. That's how she goes to sleep. God only knows how much she's had to suffer. But this day when she awakes, this day is different. There's a buzz in the city. There's this new physician who's in town, a physician who doesn't ask for anything in return for his services. He doesn't charge a fee. In fact, he has no hidden agenda except to make a sick world well again. His name is Jesus. And he doesn't go to the healthy. He goes to the sick. He doesn't go to the strong. He goes to those that have been beaten up and beaten down by life. He doesn't go to those who have lives that are very well ordered. He goes to those who are broken and chaotic. And he goes and does the impossible. She's heard the stories that he's healed people. I mean, lame people who've now walked, blind people who can see. There was even a story that he raised a dead boy to life. And lepers, he's healed lepers. And with that thought, a spark, a flame, ever so small, of hope starts to burn in her heart. Because she thinks, lepers, they're untouchable, just like me. If he healed them, he can do something for me. So she begins to hatch a plan in her mind. She will go and she will find this Jesus. She doesn't have to talk to him. She doesn't have to have his attention. If she just touches the hem of his garment, his cloak, she will be healed. And so with that thought, she covers herself in a robe. She disguises herself, because to go out into public like that and to touch other people, she would make them unclean. And so, disguised, frail, weak, she goes to the town where she assumes that Jesus is, and certainly, there he is, surrounded, hundreds and hundreds of people. They're all there, the curious, the skeptics, those that are believers, those that are just checking things out, those that are desperate and destitute, they're all there. And so she goes and tries to stitch herself through the crowd. They jostle her, they toss her side to side. She's knocked down a couple times, but she will not stop. She keeps going, thinking in her mind, I have to get to Jesus. And finally, there is an opening, a seam in the sea of humanity. And she quickly sticks her arm through, and she grabs a hold of the edge of his garment. And just like that, immediately a shot of lightning goes through her. At least that's what it feels like to her. Instantly she knows. She's been healed. The blood flow has dried up. Instantly she feels it from the top of her head to the bottom of her toe. She releases her grip and is swept away by the crowd. But Jesus doesn't let her get away. He doesn't let her get away. Who touched me? How eager he is to respond to even the slightest amount of faith reaching out to him. See, it wasn't the grab of her hand that stopped Jesus. It was the grab of her faith. And he wants to respond to that. So he calls out for her. Now, this is a moment. This is a crossroads moment for her. Her heart is beating. Her mind is racing. Because she realizes if she comes forward and she spills the beans and she acknowledges who she is and what's been going on with her, the crowd will realize that they were touched by her, that they have been declared unclean because of her. There's going to be words. There's going to be a fight. There could be a riot. She might be thrown out of town or even worse. But Jesus called her, and so she came. She fell before him, and through sobs, she spills out her story, and Jesus, looking at her, reads the entire sad story of her life etched on her face. The barren, broken, hurting, 12 long, humiliating years. He sees it all. He reads it all. And as she is finished, she looks up into the eyes of Jesus. Through the watery edges of her eyes, the cloud blurs, and all she sees is Christ. And he looks at her. And in that moment, face to face, physician with patient, he speaks a tender word. He says, "Daughter." And with that one word, he gives her a brand new identity. He gives her a brand new home in the family of God. And he sends her off in a direction that she has not known in 12 long years. He sends her on her way freed. It is an amazing story, a glimpse into the life, into the person of Jesus Christ. And it speaks truths to you and to me right here, right today, that are so powerful and so profound. One, it tells us that Jesus wants to heal your inner brokenness, not just your outer brokenness. He wants to heal your inner brokenness, not just your outer brokenness. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Whenever God asks a question, it's not for his benefit. It's for ours. Jesus was giving her an opportunity to identify herself, to come forward so that he could look her in the face, look her in the heart, look her in the soul, reach in and touch and heal the brokenness that is far greater and far deeper than what was going on the outside. That is what he wanted to do for her. That is his desire in his heart. And that is his desire for you today. He doesn't just want to heal your outer brokenness. He wants to reach in and he wants to heal the brokenness on the inside that you are carrying. The lies, the shame, the hurt. But he wants to do his work there. But just like this woman, you have to identify yourself. You have to say, "Jesus, it's me. It's me. It's me." Jesus wants to do that. It's his heart. Second thing this story tells us is that Jesus knows how to heal your brokenness. Because he knows what it's all about, and he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need, just like he knew with this woman. When he called her forward and she spilled out her story, he went right to the heart of the matter. Notice, of all the words he could have chosen, the first word he spoke to her was "daughter." Was "daughter." With that one word, he swept away all of her shame and embraced her in a new family, intimately connected with him. With that one word, "daughter," he lavished upon her the value and the dignity and the worth that society had been denying her. And with that one word, "daughter," Jesus said something to her that would forever ring in her ear, in her head, and in her heart. He was making a proclamation with that word to everyone, and especially to her. He was looking at her, and he was saying to her, with that one word, "daughter," he was saying, "I am not ashamed of you." How powerful that was for her. Because shame is all she'd known for the last 12 years. Jesus was saying, I am not ashamed of you. If you're here and you're a believer today, you're a Christ follower, you generally have a relationship with Jesus Christ, do you know that that is what he says of you? Jesus looks at you and says, I'm not ashamed of you. Because you've invited him into your life, because you are now in Christ, he's made a declaration, a proclamation over you forever. He says, I'm not ashamed of you. You might be sitting there going, well, Wes, man, lately I've really blown it. I've wandered, I've walked away, I've made some awful choices. Hey, yeah, we get it. God is not okay with our sin. He's not okay with your sin. And why would he be? Sin brings ugliness and brokenness and baggage and hurt and ruin and destruction. Why in the world would he be okay with those things? What parent in their right mind would be okay with their child doing something like that to themselves? Of course he's not okay with our sin. But you have to understand something. When you come to Christ, all of who God is on the side of the justified. All of who God is on the side of the redeemed. He is on your side against your sin. And he has made the proclamation over you, son, daughter, I love you, and I'm not ashamed of you. Nothing that you do will ever change my mind about you. That is powerful. And that is what he was proclaiming that day to that woman. Jesus was saying, all of who I am, the weight of all of who I am is in your corner, daughter. It's exactly what she needed. It's exactly what you need. It's exactly what I need. Jesus knows your brokenness. He knows the shame on your inside. He knows the lies that you've labored under. He totally understands all of it. And he knows how you've tried to heal yourself. He knows how you've tried to fix it, how you've tried to medicate it, how you've tried to make it disappear with a search after people or possessions or stuff. And he knows, just like you know, if you're honest, it hasn't worked. Because it can't work. It will never work. Because only Jesus can give life where there's death. Only Jesus can move in and give light where there's darkness. Only he can bring wholeness where there's brokenness. And he wants to. And he can. So the big question is, what do you want, really? That's the question on the table today. What do you want, really? In this story, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people around Jesus, in his presence, pressing up against him. But only one got the power of God coursing through her body. Only one had an encounter with the King of Kings. Only one had her life changed. Why? Because it was the one who said, in faith and in desperation, I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. It wasn't the guy who said, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Wasn't that guy. Wasn't the guy who said, hey, I'm just checking this whole thing out, this Jesus thing. Wasn't that guy. Wasn't the one who said, I'm too bad and turned away. Wasn't that guy. See, the Bible says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Does everybody find? No. Does no one find? No. Who finds? The one who wants to. The one who seeks. It's like this lady who came forward in faith, believe and trust in Jesus, and in desperation. She knew. She wanted Jesus. And so she wasn't going to let anything stop her. How about you? Are you willing, like this woman, to fight through all the lies and the stigma and the junk that Satan, the enemy of your soul who hates you, has tried to put on you to keep you from coming to Jesus? Will you, like this woman, say, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I've got to get to Jesus. Will you respond to his invitation? Because he loves you. He sacrificed his life for you. And just like this lady, he wants to heal your inner brokenness. He knows how to do it. But you have to choose it. And if you do, his touch on your life will be unmistakable. Because he alone can change your life. And just like this woman, send you on your way free. Only Jesus can do that. So the only question is, what do you want? What do you want? I could invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, please, one final time. Again, out of respect for those around you. Thank you guys so much. You've been so gracious in your attention. But this is the moment. This is the moment right here. What has God spoke to you about? And what do you need to do about it? What has he spoken to you about? And what do you need to do about it? Maybe if you're here and you're a believer, you need to be reminded that Jesus says of you that he's not ashamed of you. Because the enemy has lied to you. The enemy has come up beside you and told you about all of your failures and all of your junk. And man, it's been effective. And God's voice has gotten thin and cloudy in your life. Today, he wants it to be real clear. He loves you. He's not ashamed of you. And by the way, the story of the prodigal son, the only thing that kept that guy out in his junk with the pigs was his decision, not his father's. The only thing that will keep you distant from God, your decision, not God's, because he loves you. If you're here and you're a believer, maybe you just need to be reminded. The King of the universe has said of you and looks at you and says, I will never change my mind about you. I'm not ashamed of you. You're my son. You're my daughter. Let's live like that. Final question. You're here and you don't know Jesus. You don't know him. And as I've been speaking, he's been speaking to you. Only God can do that. I don't have that power. But God does. He knows. He knows. He's calling you today. Let me ask you honestly, if you died tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you know it? Because you can. Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus? You can. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God says, I'm not waiting for you to come after me. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to give my son for you. So that whoever believes in him, not believes about him, but like this woman, she believed in Christ. And she went after him. She surrendered. She risked. She came to him. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's the heart of Jesus through the word, the scripture. It's the heart of God through the scripture, John 3:16. How about you? He knows your brokenness. He wants to change your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if I'm talking to you, if God's Spirit is talking to you right now, that can change for you right now. You can pass from death to life right now. You can give your life to Jesus right now. You can have him move in and heal your brokenness and give you life right now. His word, not mine. If that's what you want, then tell him. If that is what you want, then tell him right now. In fact, you can pray something like this, not out loud. These words aren't magic. But let me give you some words because somebody loved me enough one day to give me some words. You can just pray silently something like this. Hey, dear Jesus, I'm lost. I need to be found. I'm a sinner. I get it. I need a Savior. I want you. I believe you died for me, that you love me. Believe that. You have life to give me. So I turn from my sin. I repent. I've seen what I can do with my life. I'm ready to see what you can do with my life. So come into my life and save me. I grab onto you. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around just for a moment. But if you just prayed that prayer or something like it and you meant it, I'm going to ask you right now to raise your hand nice and high and say, Wes, that's me. I just prayed it. I meant it. I want you to raise them up nice and high all across the audience. I see them. Bless you. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up, man. If you just prayed that and you meant it and it was real, just like that lady, she wasn't going to let anything keep her back. She said, I got to get to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you just for a moment. Jesus, I see hands. You see hearts. Do your work as only you can. God, I pray that you'd help them to declare it. Keep your hands up if you would, please. Just for a moment. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you meant it, I want you to keep your hands up. I want you to wave them at me. If you meant it, I want you to wave them at me. You're serious about this. Awesome. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get up from where you are. I'm going to ask you to come right here and meet me right here. There's an area right here, and we believe that God created this area just for you. So I'm going to ask you to stand up and be bold. I want you to come up right now. I want to meet you. I want to give you something. No strings attached. If you raise your hand and say, I just invited Christ in, I want you to stand up. I want you to come right now, just like that lady. Come on right now. Come on right now. Don't wait. You raise your hand. Come on. Come on. You raise your hand. You meant it. Don't let anything keep you there. Come on. Right here. I'm going to meet you right here. If you raise your hand and you meant business, come on down here. This is a declaration. Just like that lady was making a declaration. She could have stayed in the crowd, but Jesus called her, and it was the thing that sealed the deal for her. I'm going to invite you to come. You want to bring a friend, you bring them with you. You make your way, you crawl over people. You come. If you raise your hand, this is your opportunity. Come on. Jesus wants us to make our decisions for him public. This is how that starts. This is how that starts. Look at, so many of us here had a moment just like this. How many of you in the audience had a moment like this? Let me see your hand. Yeah, me too. This is why this is so important. Come on, we'll wait a moment. I know some of you are sitting there going, I'm not gonna try and talk you into anything, man. If it's real, you'll come. I get it. I understand the hesitancy. But look it. Think about the other option. Stay there. Don't miss what God wants to do in your heart. Come in. Join these people. We'll wait one more because I see some people moving. Come on. This is a last chance. I'm going to give you something that's going to help you. I promise you there's no chip in it. I'm not going to hunt you down. I'm not going to show up at your house, try to sell you like John the Baptist shower curtains or anything like that, okay? Ain't going to happen. I promise you. All right? We just want to, this is the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. We don't just want to go, hey, good job. Congratulations. See you later. Good luck with that. That would be awful of me. Because if you made a decision for Christ, and let's say I'm talking to you at a coffee shop and you prayed to receive Christ, I'd want to look across the table, congratulate you, and give you something that I know will help you. It's like somebody did that for me. So last call. If you need to come, you come on. All right. I'm going to take all you folks. We're going to just step right over there through the rocks. So why don't you head right there? That'd be great. Can we just have a hand for the Lord and his activity in people's lives? Come on, man. That's awesome.